This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, thank you for downloading this edition of Cook the Perfect. For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4. Now, 7 years ago, Zoe Adjonyo decided to cook food for a festival in her neighbourhood in Hackney. She made peanut butter stew on a baby belling outside her home, a recipe she'd learned from her Ghanaian father. And when it went very well, she set up a supper club in her sitting room. It sold out and her reputation began to spread. Nigel Slater is said to be a huge fan, and Zoe has now published Zoe's Ghana Kitchen. Well, today she will cook the perfect pan-fried tilapia, unusually in this studio, a chef who will have no difficulty with our baby belling because she's used to baby bellings. Zoe, tilapia is quite an unusual fish in this country. How easy is it to find?
You'd be surprised, actually, how easy it is, because lots and lots of fishmongers these days do tilapia fillets and do whole tilapia. So I think it's become increasingly common to find, and I hope we might be able to do a little campaign to get it into more supermarkets.
Why do you love it?
Well, it's just a really, really beautiful meaty fish, so it holds lots of flavour. It's a bit like monkfish, that kind of, you know, deep
firm flesh.
Yeah, it feels like meat when you're eating it, but it's fish.
So what are the basics for pan frying it? Something's already gone into the frying pan. What?
So what I've got here is a little baobab butter. So it's a homemade butter with cayenne pepper, lime and baobab. So baobab is a fruit, a super fruit that grows in Ghana. So that's gone into the pan, it's melting nicely. And again, because it's the tilapia is marinated also in lime juice and black pepper. So the question was, Jenny, I apologise, what was it?
We were just talking about what had gone into the pan and you amazed me by saying you'd made some butter.
Some homemade butter, that's it.
Baobab with
butter.
A fruit.
Yeah, so
baobab is a soup. How easy are they to get hold of?
Well, you can get it here in extracted form, so in a dry powder form, so it's super easy. Actually, lots of health stores and stuff stock it, along with moringa, which is in our pesto that we're going to have with the tilapia as well.
All right. The fish has gone in.
So, yeah, the fish is frying nicely. I'm going to turn the heat up a little bit. And we're also going to have a little jollof rice on the side that I've pre-made, so I'm just going to reheat that.
Rice. There are lots of pots of ingredients here. You need to just go through and tell me what they all are.
Sure. So I'm going to serve the tilapia with some bangku crisps. So bangku is a fermented maize dough. Normally it's kind of just boiled. However, I've sliced it and fried it to change the texture of it because it can be quite slimy in its original form. So crisped it up nicely. We have some moringa pesto. So moringa, again, is another kind of superfood from West Africa. We've got some spiced cashews
blended
into that.
What does it taste like, moringa?
It's a bit like spirulina or, you know, when there's wheatgrass kind of flavours. But again, because it's with the spiced cashews and the wild rocket and some lovely olive oil, it's going to taste very green but not too bitter. We've also got some shito, which is a traditional hot pepper sauce from West Africa, from Ghana. So that's made with smoked crayfish and prawns. And lots and lots of chilli, so I don't know how spicy you like your food.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because I noticed when I was reading your book that you seem to like very, 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 very hot chillies, which might blow my head off, because I'm not used to... I can do chilli now, I used not to be able to, but very, very hot.
Well, the shiito is designed, I mean, you can make a mild version, you can make a medium version. I do like my chili, so this is a hot one. But Ghanaian food generally doesn't have to be particularly heat-laden. It does have a lot of spices involved, but mostly actually they're quite aromatic and they're there to bring sort of different depths of flavour in and out of the ingredients. So I think it's a misconception generally that, yeah, Ghanaian or West African food is always hot.
But all right, so while you cook, let's talk about the other things, because it's so interesting that you were prompted to cook that first pot of stew. What made you do that?
Yeah, well, basically it's a dish, the groundnut soup or the peanut butter stew is a dish that I grew up eating. It's like a really amazing comfort food from home. It's like spicy and sweet, and it's just this intense flavour profiles, and it's literally like you're hugging yourself every time you take a mouthful. And my friends used to ask me to make it a lot, basically, any time they were coming around for dinner. And Hackney Wicked was happening. I was looking for a bit of extra pocket money because I'd just been travelling and I came home broke. So I decided to make this dish because I knew it would be popular. And, I just made a big pot of it outside my house on one of these baby burning stoves. And we had a lovely time all weekend. Kept selling out and people were coming round and drinking and talking and eating and asking about the food. And then they suggested to me, well, people were basically like, oh, you should do this again, you know.
So it grew.
Yeah.
But how much did you learn from your father? Because your mother's Irish.
Yeah.
Your father's Ghanaian. So you had two cultures that you had to follow. What did your dad teach you?
Yeah, so my dad was bringing home these amazing ingredients like kenke, the fermented maize, and the shito and tilapia that obviously weren't very common in most houses, or definitely not in our house. My mum was like, you know, cabbage and potatoes from Ireland. And it just sparked my curiosity, I guess, because he wasn't sharing it very much, to be honest. He was kind of keeping it to himself as kind of this, I guess for him it was like a reminder of home, and he couldn't probably think outside of that box to want to share it particularly. But I was very inquisitive about it because I realised it was a connection for him to his home, and therefore it could be a connection for me to Ghana.
He was
as well.
Quite a messy cook, wasn't he, when you asked him?
He was,
how,
yeah.
How do I know when it's done, Dad?
Yeah, the official lesson happened, official in inverted commas. He was cooking a sauce on the hob, making corned beef stew, and I said to him, Dad, how do you know it's done? And he laughed. He's got a very deep belly laugh. So he just laughed and he said, when he's up on the splashback, he's done. Basically, so when the tomatoes were splattered everywhere, it was cooked. So
now, what prompted you to go to Ghana to learn more?
Well, lots of things. Going to Ghana, I was doing my MA in creative writing at Goldsmiths at the time. So I was writing about my portfolio was about identity and my dad and stuff like that. So I wanted to go back to find out more about him and where he grew up and things like that. But obviously, Zoe's Ghana Kitchen was taking off and the supper clubs and everything. And I had a very small repertoire at the time of like 5 or 6 dishes that my dad used to cook. So I wanted to expand my knowledge base of the food and go into kitchens in Ghana. So it was a wonderful time, actually, because I got to meet lots of people, and very generous people let me into their kitchens, whether it was chop bars or homes and things like that. And I'm just going to turn this tilapia over
to... It smells really good.
It should be smelling quite citrusy.
I think we might have to taste it after the cereal, because...
Yeah.
So
I got to go into lots of homes and learn lots of recipes from people.
But
there.
But how then, as you say on the cover of the book, have you remixed traditional Ghanaian recipes for the modern kitchen?
Well, so this is an example. So like tilapia normally is served whole, grilled probably on like a charcoal or a fire or something like that. Beautiful big beast of a fish with papo shito on the side. Papo is a particular type of pepper. And a big bowl of banku. So this is kind of deconstructing that dish. So you use the fillet, you change up the marinade a little bit by using it's an ingredient from Ghana but not a very commonly known one, like baobab, and you keep your shito on the side and you keep your banku, but instead of this big dome of dough you have very delicate sliced pieces.
Now, it's really interesting, you know, so many cuisines have caught on in this country: Indian, Chinese, Vietnamese, Japanese. Why hasn't African caught on to the same degree?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's quite a few reasons for that, to be honest. Mostly, I think that people in the communities where they've in the diaspora, people cook for themselves, they cook for the community, or have been until recently. So there wasn't really an idea of wanting to share that with anybody or that anybody else would be interested. So there wasn't really a space for people to go to try the food. But what's happened in recent years is that more and more people, you know, the younger generation who want to connect with their African culture and roots and want to share that with people in the same way that I've been doing, you're seeing this wonderful rise in supper clubs and pop-ups and street food. And the food scene is starting to embrace that newness because, you know, we love food in this country, but it hasn't been, as diverse as it could and should be.
Zoe, I'm looking forward to loving that food. You finish cooking it, I'll get the cereal on, and then I can try it. So, now the cereal. Anthony Bourdain's Kitchen Confidential. Now, and here's a Kitchen Confidential. There hasn't been any swearing going on around here, has there? And I loved the fish. I loved the pesto. I loved the rice. I tried the shito.
Shito.
Shito. Pronounce it properly. Otherwise, it could be a very bad slip up. Zoe, it is hot.
The shito is hot, yeah. But I like my shito very hot, but it doesn't have to be. The recipe in the book is you can do it mildly if you like.
And happily, you put it on the side, so all I had to do was have a tiny little. But really, that fish is absolutely gorgeous. So that was my Ghanaian lunch. Yeah. Thank you so much, Zoe Adjonyo, and good luck with the book.
Thank you
very much indeed for cooking so beautifully.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
You can download any edition of Cook the Perfect by going to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.